This is Mark Shaler, just finishing off a little bit of comparing on Saturday at the Do Lectures. I took the last couple of sessions, which were really interesting. We had Andy Puddicombe speaking from Get Some Headspace. Andy, at the age of 22, went off to become a monk, where most of us were enjoying time at university or the beginnings of our career. He was doing without, and he spent a good few years doing that, and then left that to go and do a degree in circus skills. Again, quite an interesting decision. He since then has spent a lot of time setting up a web service, an app to help people get more out of meditation. He appreciates that people find it very difficult to meditate, either to sit still or to not flood their brain with things that are irrelevant. And that's not a problem. He says that's okay. And whilst we might have clouds above the clouds is blue sky, and we forget that it is there all the time. We just need to get through the clouds. So he talked about the difference between doing nothing and not doing, and how important that difference is. And He talked us through his process, which is really simple: 10 minutes a day, 10 days, just to get you in to the whole rhythm of meditation. And he says something quite interesting. Actually, he said we're very good at going back to check that something still troubles us. We're very good if you've got a toothache, or you'll spend all day prodding it with your tongue just to check that it still hurts, and clearly it is still going to hurt. And he talked about this in terms of meditation as well. And when we're trying to get to clarity, we keep going back to our worries to make sure that they're still there. Well, they will be. And so the best way of dealing with it is to not to go back to those things. So really interesting presentation, and demystifying meditation in lots of ways. Now, he was followed by Anna Felton. Anna has been working with the Do Lectures, with Howie's, and with Hyatt Denham for a long time, probably the last 4 years. And Anna came to Wales from a kind of hotshot career that she could have had in London doing PR, and has done her own PR and her own work with those great brands. Now, she started her own brand, Monkstone, which is a wool clothing brand, and is loving it, and has very much focused on sitting that business within the natural environment. So it's run from a farm, so the sheep come straight from the farm. Struggled to find people who could spin and dye within Wales. Finally resolved all of those issues, and now makes beautiful clothing out of wool. And she said, you know, she's the sum of parts of many journeys. She's been parts of many journeys, and she gave us probably the understatement of the day, which was, I'm just a young girl trying to make stuff. And you think that's a great thing to be. That's not a just. There's no just in there. That's a wonderful thing to be. And she talked about how we need to embed ourselves within our natural environment. So that was really good, really nice session. And it was followed by the most amazing session, actually. We do this year, we invited three attendees to talk, and they had about 4 hours notice, and they had 10 minutes each. And we had Tim Inu talking, and Tim is I think he called himself a YouTube DJ, and he takes video clips and mashes them all together, and that can tell a slightly different story. Very creative, very innovative, and he can create different meaning from pulling those clips together. And he showed us some of his work, and it was interesting, and it is the future. The future was a student called Lydia Slack, who, 21, seemed really nervous, seemed really uncertain, stood up and delivered the most accomplished presentation, comic presentation, about growing up on a hill farm in Derbyshire. And she just brought the house down. No one expected this virtuoso performance, and she was amazing. And she scurried back to her seat afterwards, not realising that the entire tent was doing a standing ovation. She had to be asked to turn round. So she's definitely one to watch for the future. Absolutely brilliant. And then we had a story of John Ram, finally. John was born blind, but didn't realise he was blind until he was 5, when other people at school told him so. And he talked about how it changes his life, and how I guess as much as anything else, it's changed other people's lives around him, because it really does make you think about using words like, John, oh yeah, the sky's a bit grey today. No point of reference. What does grey mean? And he told us his story, and it was brilliant. It was a really personal approach to the problems, and more importantly, the great things that he's done. So that was great. And I think those three presentations may do so much better to not have the audience participating. It would have made for an inferior quality day. So I think we'll keep that up. We'll bring people out of the audience and get them to do that. Now, we then went on to the final presentation of the lecture from Sean Carasso. Sean is from LA, and he embarked on a sort of, I think I can say this safely, relatively hedonistic sort of wasterish trip around the world when he was young. He started actually, it was interesting, he started telling a story by explaining that his parents were big pioneers in the quinoa business, trying to get that brilliant grain into our diets. And his dad was fleeced quite badly by a business partner. So they had to go out and earn money. They just had to earn money as fast as they could. And they sold glow sticks. And he kind of cut his teeth in his interpersonal skills by selling glow sticks at events and festivals. And you got this really interesting image of a young boy who was small enough to squeeze through big little gaps to get to the front of places and sell more that way. And it clearly, you know, is built into his DNA, this whole personal skills thing. So he started with that and then kind of very nicely put it to one side. And then he grew up and went around the world and had a fantastic time and ended up going into the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And for those of you that are unaware, it's an area massively war-torn. It's one of the poorest countries in the world, and yet it's got some of the highest levels of raw materials. It's an astonishingly wealthy country, and yet it has no money. Massive tribal problems. And the tribal armies recruit very small children to fight. And we all hear about the boy soldiers. But those that are too small to carry a gun are put at the front of the troops, and they're given a whistle. And it's their job to run forwards and to make as much noise. If they've not got a whistle, they bang pots and pans together to confuse or frighten the enemy. Their second job is to take the first bullets and to stop anybody with a gun being shot. And they're kind of almost asked to, when they fall over, to fall in lines, so they create a barrier for the opposing army to have to climb across, tread across, to get to you. And this is, you know, clearly heartbreaking, and he told, I'd seen the video before, the falling whistles video, because that's the whole thing, you know, as they fall, the whistle falls with them. And I knew I'd cry, frankly, but I didn't know it would be delivered in such an amazing way by Sean. So he told the story of them coming back and you know, arriving into America that's normal and not kind of getting it when he stood on bars and said, for fuck's sake, we've got to sort this out, there's people dying. And they're just going to go back to work and get their next paycheck, and that's the way they work. And he thought of a way of trying to get the message across. So he set up this charity, Falling Whistles, and he also started to use the whistle as a symbol. So by wearing it and selling them online, when you wear them, people ask you what it's about, and that then gives you the permission to tell the story, rather than you having to ask for forgiveness for telling that story. And I'm a big fan of asking for forgiveness rather than permission, but in this situation, in social situations, it maybe is the right thing to do, the way that he did it. So he raises funds and funds phenomenal on-the-ground projects, amazing things that wouldn't happen without him in order to try and reduce this carnage. And he left the room on their feet and in tears. He made us laugh, he made us cry, and it was absolutely beautiful. Very difficult to recover from that, but we did, and we always do an auction at the end of do, and we were very generously gifted lots and lots of things to sell, from deck chairs that we use for the students there through to trips to ski resorts in the States, and incredible things. And I was the auctioneer, never auctioned before, kept getting the guide price mixed up with the starting price. Probably made a complete hash of it, but we ended up selling £30,000 worth of of things, half of which went to Falling Whistles charity. So it was astonishing, and people's generosity amazes me to this day. So all in all, we finished that night with a good old dance up, and Skritti Politti played, and Salima Goddard did some more amazing poetry, and it was a fantastic day, a fantastic way to end a day that had taken us to the highest and to the lowest. And I think Do does that, and you leave with a, you know, covered in mud, what we did this year, and you leave with a heavy heart because you're leaving people that you've just met and you genuinely bond so quickly to. And you've done your workshops and you've made your bread and you've done a bit of meditation and you may have jumped in a river or two. And you try and sum it up, and it's really difficult because you go back to the talks, and the talks are all inspirational, but the talks are such a small part of it. And the interesting thing is what happens afterwards, and the gushing. It probably is totally embarrassing to people who haven't been, but the gushing and the enthusiasm is, it's so strong. And it does gradually peter off over the year or the 6 months, but it's then rekindled by Twitter or by however we communicate with each other. And the role of media, I think, is really important in Do's story, because the video, clearly, is all media, it's all online. The way that people find out about it is generally online, through Twitter or through Pinterest or through StumbleUpon or whatever it is. We tend to find out about it, but you can't experience it online. You have to experience it there. So David and Claire do a fantastic job. Forrest do an amazing job. It wouldn't be the same if it was anywhere else. And another great Do. So go next year.